don't you know I'm still standing better than I ever did? Looking like a true survivor, feeling like a little kid. I'm still standing after all this time.
I'm hardly even back in the chair. And there's Rob texting me at 1-877-300-7275 asking how I'm doing as an Oiler fan. And I replied, Rob, I'm still shopping. Leave me alone right now. Dwayne reached out almost immediately this morning from Eyebrow, sharing his sympathy and feels his pain, feels my pain. He's a Leaf fan. Dwayne, thank you for that. Yes, my heart is sad this morning as an Oiler fan, having predicted they would win the Stanley Cup this year. But I'll get into those details shortly here. Yes, I'm back from vacation. Some of you were hoping perhaps I'd quit. I see here, who was it? Oh, Marilyn. Marilyn Phillips. Was it Marilyn? Yeah, she was asking, where'd Greg Morgan go? Well, Marilyn, if you were hoping I left, I'm sorry, I'm back. I had a great vacation, though, and just back from the Western Mediterranean. And what a ride. Rome's Colosseum left me speechless. Portofino was basically a real-life screensaver I lived. And Florence, well, it gave us wine and then some. And Cannes, I was at Cannes, not for the film festival. That was the week earlier. But, wow, the yachts there. And Mallorca. I biked through Mallorca, where they treat cyclists better than those who drive vehicles. And Murray Wood would be really unhappy living there in Mallorca because cyclists had the right-of-way over vehicles. It was incredible. Barcelona, we ended there, and that was pure magic, too. So I'll give you a little more of my vacation throughout the morning here. But, yes, hugs to my fellow Oiler fans for the second straight year. Edmonton losing to Florida in the Stanley Cup final. Ha!
The rain's going to continue. And now they're knocking on Dynasty's doorstep. The Florida Panthers back-to-back Stanley Cup champions.
Yeah, they repeat as champs by beating the Oilers 5-1, becoming the NHL's first back-to-back winner since Tampa Bay in 2020 and 21. And they are now the third team to do it this century. The Panthers scoring first and then another. They were up 2-0 after one. And even as a diehard Oiler fan that I am, I said out loud during the second period, if they don't score first to get a spark and allow the Panthers to score the third, it's over.
And the hole is now 3 goals for Edmonton.
Yeah, that was pretty much it in the second period. The Oil opened up the third with a little jump, but the Panthers, they outmatched that Oiler team so well. They are the champions for a reason. Sam Reinhart scored 4 goals, including an empty netter. Matthew Tkachuk even scored the cup clincher, admitted after the game he fought through this one after injury prior to the start of the cup run.
I tore my adductor off the bone, and then had some hernia thing, and all on the same side, and wanted to throw in the towel a bunch of times. I'm sure I got to thank a lot of people, I mean, for getting me healthy enough. I'm sure I wasn't the easiest to deal with. I mean, my fiance did a great job at the house on days where I probably wasn't in the best mood coming to the rink, the trainers, maybe when I wasn't in the best mood, when I was in pain. I just owe them so much, the doctors.
Sam Bennett, he won MVP, deservedly so, and during his on-ice interview, he saw Brad Marchand become a Stanley Cup champion, hoisting the cup again. He actually stopped. Bennett stopped his interview to comment on it.
Look who's got the cup.
That's awesome. That guy is the biggest dog I think I've ever played with. He's incredible. This guy, the best leader. He leads by example. He speaks up. He's fearless out there. And I've been telling him this whole playoffs, we're following you, and we followed him this whole playoff run. It was incredible.
That's Sam Bennett watching Brad Marchand with the Stanley Cup in hand. 14 years since Brad won the last one with the Bruins in 2011. And Florida's depth, as I said, they ran deeper than the Oilers, who seem to have lost their depth altogether in the last few games. And the Panther forecheck was relentless. And Bobrovsky, he was incredible in net for the Panthers. And what a humble guy after the game.
I want to say thank you to my family, to my parents, you know, for their sacrifice for me. And obviously for my wife and 2 kids, you know, they also allowed me to play hockey, to do my job. And I want to thank God for everything that I have. And everything that I don't have.
Well, let's go to the loser locker room. There he is, Connor McDavid. said they just lost to the better team.
Lost to a really good team. Nobody quit. Nobody threw the towel in. They're a heck of a team. You know, the Stanley Cup champions back-to-back for a reason. And obviously their forecheck was great. They tilted the rink. They were able to kind of stay on top of us all over the place. Never really able to generate any momentum up the ice. You know, we kept trying the same thing over and over again, just banging our heads against the wall. So credit to them. They played well.
Leon Draisaitl, a little more blunt.
Yeah, we battled. But we're not leaving here as winners. So.
You could see the pain in that guy's eyes having lost again. And that's where some of these questions are a little stupid, I think. You know, someone asked if there was any takeaways from the loss that he could learn from. Well, what a dumb question immediately after they lost the Stanley Cup. Wait a few days, maybe.
The takeaway is that we didn't win. Nobody cares. We didn't win. So, yeah, good try again next year.
Yeah, we will try again next year. But how about our buddy Corey Perry? He actually, I thought last night, Connor, Leon, and Corey Perry are the only ones that showed up for the Oilers. It wasn't enough. He's the first player in NHL history to lose the Cup 5 times, Corey Perry, in 6 years with 4 different clubs. But remember, he did win the Cup in 07 with the Ducks.
Hey, Jude.
Speaking words of wisdom, let it be.
Blackbird singing in the dead of night. Get back to where you once belong.
Back in the USSR.
20 years ago today, Sgt. Pepper taught the band to play.
Live and let die.
Yes, there he is, Paul McCartney. 83 years old, and as Murray Wood would remind me, good friend of the show, long ago when he performed it, what was known then as Taylor Fields, he spoke to CJME earlier in the day.
Well, I heard you were out biking around Wascana Park today. Was that you?
Yeah, we went round the lake. It was very beautiful.
Yeah, that was a pretty thrilling moment for McCartney to call in with us and give us 5 or 10 minutes of his time way back when he performed at Taylor Field. It's Greg Morgan here, back from vacation. I hope you're well. I hope you're enjoying the sunshine now. Looks like the weekend's going to be a little damp. In my household, we're getting close to the end of the school year, and my kid reminded me last night, 8 days and counting, Dad, 8 days and counting. I know some of you with high school students probably noticing a little more pressure on your kids there as they're busy writing final exams this week. Still plenty of graduations happening there, too, and I hope the exams go well in your household, too. Downtown construction on 11th Avenue certainly has been a hassle as of late. And just like you, a lot of downtown businesses are annoyed. Craig Zamonski is owner of a barbershop on 11th. He says it's been a little difficult for customers to make their appointments on time.
With the construction, it just creates a lot more inconveniences to the clients.
But luckily, customers are coming through wanting to support and shop local. So let's hope that keeps up, because the city of Regina understands everyone's frustrated, but what are they going to do, right? We only have so many months for construction in this climate, and this is it. They suggest multiple crews are working increased hours to speed along the downtown project, and I heard they were doing that too for the Dewdney project as well.
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore.
Yes, I heard that once or twice last week on vacation. A few years back, I said to myself, you know what, Greg, it's time to see different parts of the world. So I promised myself every couple years I would save up and go take a trip to somewhere I've never been before. I did it a couple years ago, went to Greece. This year, finally had saved enough. Took a whirlwind tour of the Western Mediterranean. And honestly, I'm still kind of recovering from the jet lag. It was 8 hours ahead in Rome. And when those Oiler games are on at 2 a.m. Rome time and you're you're holidaying and you go to bed for a couple hours and you're a hardcore Oiler fan like I am, getting up to watch it in the middle of the night, then trying to sleep another hour or two before we're off to the next destination. I love my trip. I love my Oilers. Got it all done. Unfortunately, last night they couldn't finish for me. But yeah, we kicked things off in Rome, where the Colosseum stood like a time-traveling monument to both ancient gladiators and every sword and sandal movie I've ever seen. And it was just incredible. And seeing what's left of it, both above ground and the labyrinth below, was like walking through a live-action history book. Very cool place. And from Rome, we ended up hopping on a cruise ship. It was like a floating city with unlimited gelato. And one of the first stops was Portofino, Italy. A postcard perfect village where the buildings, they're all pastel, the water sapphire. Heck, it seemed even the seagulls flying about were on vacation. What a gorgeous place, Portofino. And we eventually got to Florence, Pisa, where we veered off the beaten path to visit a charming farm that was not only a vineyard with great wine, but apparently a poplar tree farm. Yes, they grow grapes for their vineyard and supply IKEA with raw material, I guess, because the farm had poplars growing everywhere, and they cut them down every 12 years, sell them off, turn them into paper and furniture. But one of the biggest surprise stops for us was Cannes, France, a place that actually was still recovering from all the glitz of the Cannes Film Festival that had wrapped up about a week before we got there. And the yachts there in Cannes, oh, the yachts. I've never seen so many luxury boats in one place. Tens of thousands. That's where the money is, Cannes. Oh, my goodness. Great spot. I'd go back there in an instance. What a great vibe it was in there. So much to see and do there. Mallorca, Spain brought a change of pace, literally, as we explored that island by bicycle. And this was fun, too. Drivers there yield to cyclists and pedestrians. Cyclists are royalty in Mallorca, which I'd love it if Murray would move there, because he'd be so miserable. He hates the way cyclists take over streets. There, they have the right of way. But man, stunning views and just a blast there. We also wrapped up our cruise. We stopped and departed from Barcelona, which blows my mind too. And Tony Gaudi's fingerprints all over the city, but nothing compares to the Sagrada Familia, which... it's a church, but it's a sculpture. It's like you're living a dream when you're walking through there. And man, even aliens, if they landed on Earth and walked in there, they'd be like, what the heck? Didn't expect this. It was marvelous. And I got to tell you, too, we met some Americans on the cruise. And lots of lovely folks. Many of them were from Florida, which is the red state. And Trump's home state, right? They were offering very sheepish apologies to us once they found out we were Canadian. Some seemed genuinely nervous, and I'm not making this up, but a few we spoke with, they worry about civil war back home. And I think some Canadians believe that there's a possibility in that too. But I wanted to give them a hug or some refuge, or at least a Tim Hortons gift card, but I was all out. But met a lot of Americans who seemed to be quite sour on what Trump is saying and doing, and apologizing to us as Canadians. But all in all, I just got to save for whatever might come 2 years from now as I continue to make a quest somewhere I've never been every 2 years. I'm sure many of you have traveled and have a suggestion. You can let me know, 1-877-300-7275. Well, well, there it is, Pink Pony Club, a song the Oilers were using to celebrate any victories they had in their dressing room. And last night, oh, I saw the footage. Oh, man. Matthew Tkachuk standing on a chair in the center with the Stanley Cup of the dressing room, champagne flowing everywhere. And he's encouraging his teammates to sing Pink Pony Club to rub it in a little more. Oh, what a guy. But he had a great series. He got one goal last night, the clincher. The Oilers lost 5-1. They lost to the better team. And the Panthers become the NHL's first back-to-back winner since Tampa Bay did it in 2020 and 21. It's perhaps the start of a dynasty. That's Matthew Tkachuk. He said that. Talked about the dynasty right there on the ice after the game.
I just am so lucky to be on this team with this group of guys. And just a special group. And we got to be a dynasty now. It's 3 years in a row, finals, two championships. This team is so special. And I just, Stanley Cup champion, this never gets old.
This team is so special. Blah, blah, blah. I really thought as an Oiler fan, yes, that they were going to win last night. They really pooped the bed, if you know what I mean, last Saturday. And I thought, okay, they'll learn from it. But no, didn't come true. Brad Marchand, Stanley Cup champion again. 14 years since he last won a cup in 2011 with the Bruins.
It's incredible. It's a feeling you can't really describe. And, you know, seeing the family and everyone up there and everyone that supported me and helped me get to this point, there's nothing. Words can't put this into reality, how great it feels, and such an incredible group.
Florida's depth just that much deeper than the Oilers, who what happened to their depth? You know, the first three series, they had everyone firing at all cylinders, but great forecheck, relentless forecheck by the Panthers. And Sergei Bobrovsky, he was incredible, humble too after the game. I like what he said.
I want to say thank you to my family, to my parents, you know, for their sacrifice for me, and obviously for my wife and two kids. You know, they also allowed me to play hockey, to do my job. And I want to thank God for everything that I have and everything that I don't have.
I know goaltender Stuart Skinner for the Oilers. He was knocked out for that third goal. He was, pardon me, taking a lot of hard knocks because of the third goal in the second period there. The Panthers scored. Gave up a beefy rebound. He owned it after the game. I won't play what he said about that goal, but he was asked why he thought the Panthers won.
In my opinion, I think it was just consistency. I think that was honestly it. They played a consistent game. They didn't change once through the whole series. I felt like our game was up and down a little bit here and there. I mean, that's how they play. They play that game all year, and it goes into playoffs, and they stick to it. They do the exact same thing every night. In our game, we weren't as consistent as they were.
All right. Last night, our reporter Jillian Massey was in Imperial, Saskatchewan, Northwest Regina, home of Oilers head coach Chris Knobloch. Jillian caught up with Chris's dad, Bob, watching the game, and he was disappointed like me.
Not feeling very good. 2 years in a row. I had higher hopes for this year.
More from Bob. And, of course, Jillian's going to join me later and let me know how Imperial reacted to the game. She'll join me a little after 8 o'clock. Hey, coming off the heels of the G7 summit, that more or less has Canada and the U.S. apparently working on a tariff deal somewhere within the next month. That's kind of the window time frame they're hoping to let us know. But anyhow, perhaps a little reaction later from Premier Scott Moe and Alberta Premier Danielle Smith, who are working together at a joint news conference. We'll carry live here at 3:30 this afternoon. They'll be doing that from Lloydminster. You'll hear it here live. And apparently they're going to be talking energy and ag and a little more than that, perhaps, too. Catch it later this afternoon, 3:30.